Good morning and Merry Christmas to the Church of Glenshaw Valley. The birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, is recorded in two of the Gospels. In Luke, it's more from the perspective of Mary, and it also includes the birth of John the Baptist. But in Matthew, it's more from the perspective of Joseph, and that's where our scripture comes from today. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded of him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill.
It was the day after Christmas, and Dad was trying to take a nap, and his young son kept trying to interrupt him. And finally, the father lost his patience and said very sternly, "You go to my room, and you go there right now." Hearing this, the boy's mother asked, "Why are you sending him to our room instead of his room?" The father said, "Are you kidding me? Did you see all the Christmas presents that he got? He's got a flat screen TV in his room, an iPod, an iPad, an iPhone, an Xbox, three new electronic gadgets and games. If I want to punish him, I can't send him to his room. I've got to send him to our room where there isn't anything in it." How very different is our world from the world that Jesus Christ was born into. I wonder if Jesus ever even had a room of his own. In today's story from Matthew, Joseph and Mary are betrothed. It's a word we don't use anymore. Betrothal in those days was like a modern engagement, but much more binding. An engagement in today's world can be expensive to break, but being betrothed in the first century meant that a couple had already exchanged vows and they could only be unbetrothed through divorce. When Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant, he naturally suspected that Mary was guilty of infidelity. If a betrothed couple was found to be with child before the marriage, this brought shame to the entire family. Joseph's reputation would have been affected as well as Mary's reputation. And so Joseph decided he would divorce Mary, but do it in a very quiet way, because Joseph was a very special man. Even though he was hurt, very much hurt, he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace. If Joseph had accused Mary of adultery, she could have been stoned to death in that culture. So Matthew tells us that it was not in Joseph's character to do this to Mary. Still, he planned to end the betrothal. Then Joseph had a dream. In this dream, an angel addressed him with an important title, "Joseph, son of David." Now, this is important because it related to the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. Jesus would be from the house of David, from King David, and the lineage here is very important. The angel told Joseph that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and that he should not be afraid to marry her. And the angel told Joseph to name the baby Jesus, and this baby would take away the sins of his people. And after the dream, Joseph changes his mind and stays with Mary, and he names the baby when born Jesus. By naming Mary's child, he is indicating to the world that Jesus is his legal son. According to a custom, a child's legal father was his real father. Didn't worry about the biological father. Therefore, Joseph's lineage was also the lineage of Jesus Christ from the house of David. This tells us much about Joseph. He was not only a son of David, but he was also a good man of God. We know very little about Joseph outside of the first chapter of Matthew. Though Paul mentioned Mary, he never mentioned Joseph. After the birth narrative, there's only one more reference to Joseph in the Gospels, one we're familiar with, when Joseph and Jesus and Mary go to Jerusalem, and then Jesus stays behind in the temple, and they have to go back and look for him. Many scholars think that it's likely that Joseph died when he was quite young, but we don't know for sure. But that could explain why Joseph was not mentioned with the rest of the family in the gospel narratives when Jesus began his ministry. However, there are some facts about Joseph that we can infer, I think, about him. Joseph was a man in control of his emotions. And I think that's very important because some people are ruled all their lives just by their emotions. Gordon MacDonald tells the story of a Nigerian woman who was a physician at a great teaching hospital in the United States. And once when MacDonald was giving a lecture, she stepped out of the crowd to say something kind to him after the lecture about the lecture. And she introduced herself using her American name. And he asked her, "Well, what's your African name?" And she immediately gave it to him. The name had several syllables along with a musical sound to the name. And he said, "Well, what does that mean?" And she answered, "It means child who takes the anger away." When he inquired as to why she would have been given this name, she said, "Well, my parents had been forbidden us to marry. But we loved each other so much that we defied our parents and married anyway. And for several years, we were ostracized from both sides of the family. They wouldn't have anything to do with us. Then my mother became pregnant with me, and with the grandparents held me in their arm for the first time, the walls of hostility came tumbling down. And I became the one who swept the anger away. And that's the name my mother and father gave me." MacDonald concluded, "It occurred to me that that name would have been a suitable name for Jesus. And that name would also have been a good name for Jesus' father, Joseph, the one who swept the anger away. When someone hurts us, it's tempting to strike back in anger. He thought that Mary was pregnant with the child of another man, but he did not seek revenge. He was hurt by this apparent break in their relationship, but he did not seek to hurt her in return. All he wanted to do was walk away. Joseph did decide to end their betrothal, but when an angel came to him and assured him that it was not as it seemed, Joseph listened and did and obeyed as the angel had instructed. Joseph was the man who could control his emotions, and that's, I think, an important truth about Joseph. There are many times when we are confronted with situations in which the temptation will be to respond in a hurtful way and say things that we can never take back. Once a word is spoken, you can never get that word back. You can apologize, and that'll help, but the word has been spoken. If we can hold our tongue, if we can control our anger at such times, I believe God can use us in a wonderful and a great way. The Bible says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Usually, we're the other way around. Joseph listened to the message of God through the agonizing pain of what he thought was infidelity, but he did not lash out, so he was in control of his emotions. We know also that Joseph was a man of great character. We know this from his willingness to take on the role of Jesus' father. Even though Joseph was not biologically related to Jesus, he was willing to claim him as his own. Pastor Philip Larkey tells about a friend of his years ago whose girlfriend was pregnant. Naturally, he assumed he was the father. But the gospel around school was that she'd been seen with other guys, and that his friend wasn't the father after all. Back then, they didn't have the benefits of paternity testing, and there's just no way they could get on the Maury Povich show. So there wasn't any way to know for sure. But there was enough to give his friend an out if he wanted it. Just enough question there. Maybe it's not mine. He weighed the pros and cons and decided to ask his girlfriend anyway to marry him. She accepted and they got married and shortly after gave birth to a daughter who quickly became the apple of his eye. Always was, still is, to this day. He says, when I think of my friend, I'm reminded of the faithfulness of Joseph. It was something to do with getting your ego out of the way and putting others first. A hard thing to do. It's an exercise in humility, and it's based on a simple trust that by God's grace, all things really do work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Not our purposes, but His purposes. And that's it to a great extent. It's a matter of getting your and my egos out of God's way. Some of you remember in the mid-80s when We Are the World became the fastest-selling pop single in American history. Sales exceeded 20 million copies and raised over $63 million for humanitarian aid. But a few days before the musicians gathered in the studio, Lionel Richie posted a sign over the entrance that said, "Check your egos at the door." That's so important in all relationships. In work, in your family, in marriages. It's important in sports. And it's important in the church life, the church family, all that we do, to check our egos at the door. Joseph checked his ego at the door. Joseph controlled his emotions. And Joseph was a man of character. And Joseph made a critical difference in our world. I don't think we really ever think about that. What if Joseph had not been able to man up, as we say in our vernacular today? What if he had not done what we might say is the right thing? Think how different the story of Christmas might be. But he did man up. He listened to the words the angel spoke, and the world has been blessed ever since. He was on stage. I guess you could say he had his 15 minutes of fame in this beautiful drama. But he's still an important part of what happened in the world. So don't ever assume that because you don't seem to be playing a major part, maybe think I'm just playing a minor part in everything, that your life doesn't have an impact, because it does. You don't have to be a major player. We look at Joseph and say that he couldn't have possibly made an impact on our world. He had very few of the world's goods. He certainly had no position of importance in the community, so how much difference could he make? He raised the Son of God, took him in as his own, gave him his name. He was a good husband to Mary and a good father to Jesus and to the other children, Jesus' brothers and sisters. The point is that when you go through life able to control your responses to people so that you're able to deal with them gently, with love and forgiveness. When you're a person of character so that the people know that you can be counted on to do the right thing. Always do the right thing. When you're able to check your ego at the door, then your life is crucial for God's plan in this world. It is through these acts of love, kindness, responsibility, character, compassion that God is building God's kingdom right now. The Joseph who assumed the role of Jesus' father was such a man, and we need to thank God for it. If he wasn't, the world might be a different place. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen.